producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to the Adam Thompson Show.
Cutting edge.
He just told you to shut the f***
up. No holds barred.
Thanks for not calling me a liar, son of a...
The latest trending topics,
legal cases,
and social issues.
In-your-face commentary on all subjects.
Adam Thompson.
You can't handle the truth.
Adam Thompson brings his 25-year experience as a high-profile criminal and civil trial lawyer and gritty New York street smarts and attitude to the studio.
Real unbiased talk.
Those who want respect, give respect.
You never know what he'll say next. This is the Adam Thompson Show. Here's your host, Adam Thompson.
All right, everybody. Good evening out there in Radio Land. Welcome back to the Adam Thompson Show. Thanks for joining us. Happy holidays to everybody. Boy, I'm excited to be here. I love the holiday season, my most favorite time of year. It's so much fun because so much happens at this time of year in my house. We have Halloween, then a couple of weeks later, it's my son's birthday. A couple of weeks later, it's Thanksgiving. And a couple of weeks later, it's all the prep leading up to Christmas and then Christmas. And then this year, we have the wild card thrown in. And we're freaking out because it's the opening of the new Star Wars movie. And we are huge Star Wars fans. And when I say we're huge Star Wars fans, I mean we have Yodas around the house, full life-size Chewbacca's and everything. Everywhere you look, there's Star Wars stuff in our house. So you would think we're part of the set and part of the movie, but we're not, even though we probably should be. We make great characters if they let us. But that's opening, and we're very excited because we're going to be seeing it. It's one of my son's Christmas presents, so I know he's very excited. And we haven't been watching any of the social media sites to get any spoilers because we want to be completely surprised when we go. So we're very excited. So I can't wait to go. That's all I got to say. But anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody. Just remember, always check us out on all our different sites. As you know, we're here on the Genesis Communications Network, starcom.com. We're on iTunes, iHeartRadio. We're all over the place. Everywhere we go now, I'm finding the Adam Thompson Show. It's great. I do a random search online, and we're everywhere. So check us out wherever we're playing locally in your area. But we usually air Saturday nights, as those listening right now know. But check us out also on our website, www.adamthompsonshow.com. All our shows are there, archived. So if there's a particular show you want to re-listen to with someone, but you thought it was hilarious, or you liked the debate and good information, or the guests, or the topic, go check it out because everything is there, including all our great overtime extras and everything else that you guys love about the show. So we have a lot scheduled today, so I want to get to it. I want to start off by talking about what's been all over the news, the verdict, or let's say non-verdict, in the Freddie Gray trial. You know, the prosecutor, Mosley, decided that she was going to try, out of all the officers that were arrested, Officer William Porter first, right? So, you're a prosecutor, right? And I'm going to break this down for you guys better than you're going to get anywhere. Because I've been doing criminal defense for 25 years. This is my forte. This is what I do, okay? And I always comment on these cases all the time and try to go in depth because you don't get the in-depth stuff really other places, but you're going to get it here, right? So as a criminal defense lawyer, when you represent a client in a very high publicized case like this, you know that the prosecutor's office is going to pull out everything that they can throw at you. The kitchen sink, it's all coming full blown because, one, it's on the press. Two, they don't want to lose in the press and have public shame or look like they're incompetent or can't get the job done. And usually a lot of these people that are in these offices, when they do a highly publicized case, you know, let's be real. They're thinking down the line, I could use this as a springboard to run for a bigger office. Well, I'm an assistant prosecutor today. Maybe I'll become the prosecutor. Maybe I'll become a judge. Maybe I'll get a gig and I'll run for Senate or something like that. You know, they're thinking bigger aspirations, let alone, let's not forget the financial gain because they all seem to write books or do movies or make for TV movies or something like that. So lots of different thoughts going on in people's minds when they get involved in these highly publicized cases. So they want things to go well. So now you look at what this prosecutor did in Baltimore, and she picked what was, to me, a very odd first defendant to go after, William Porter. Her theory behind picking Kimmy was one of the African-American officers that was arrested. You would think, given that the fact that the case stayed in Baltimore, it was going to be tried before pretty much, if you go by all the protests and things that went on in Baltimore, pretty angry Baltimore potential jury pool, whether they're going to admit that or not, there's no way to avoid having read about this, seen about it on TV, heard about it on the radio. Wherever you went, there were stories about this with the marches, the protests, how police violence is so high in Baltimore, whether that's true or not. That was the narrative that was being driven. So you have a jury pool that's going to be pretty much predisposed when they go in there to think negative thoughts about the police force, whether they experienced it or not. So you would think that she would probably have chosen a different lead defendant to go, one that you thought you had the biggest slam dunk on that you could win. Now, let's assume this is what she actually thought and believed, that William Porter was her best defendant. This is the guy we could definitely win with. This is the guy that after we win, we'll use him as a witness then against other defendants in other cases. I understand that she wanted to use Porter later in the case against the driver of the van, another police officer, I believe it was Gordon. So she wanted to get him convicted and then be able to backtrack and use him in the subsequent trial. Okay, so if that's her game plan, how does it look when she then finally tries the case? Remember, highly publicized. She's throwing out everything that she has, Adam. We're going to bring in every witness that's good for us who's been fully prepped. We're going to bring in the top experts who've been fully prepped, and they're going to uncover every different angle that anyone could think of. And let alone, remember, none of the defendants know what any of these individual fact witnesses or lay witnesses, as they call, are going to say. No one knows what the experts are going to testify to. You may have an idea, oh, they're calling a handwriting expert. Okay, I'm not saying that that was used in this case, but by way of example. And he's going to testify, obviously, relating to maybe signatures that were on documents relating to the case. So, you know, they'll be bringing in experts that will talk about what Freddie Gray's injuries were, at what point did he sustain them, how would he have been injured within the van being thrown around, if he was shackled at the hands and the feet, was that proper, was it improper, should he have been belted down, do the vans have belts to begin with, is the police officer safe when he belts them down, or do they normally do that, what's the standard police procedure? So there's going to be all kind of police safety and police procedure experts that are going to be brought in, so on and so forth, to talk about what a reasonable police officer would have done in this situation. So assuming the prosecutor, Mosley now, she lines up the best fact witnesses, she lines up the best expert witnesses, she gets them all together, and boom, she's presenting her case. We know that the jury composition was 8 black and 4 white, and I believe under the black composition was, I think, almost a fair either 4 and 4 male and female or 5-3 female to male, but predominantly African-Americans on the jury. You would think with the outrage in Baltimore, with the protests that were going on, with the pressure from the community to want to get a conviction in this case, the fact that this prosecutor brought, you know, whatever it was, I believe involuntary manslaughter charges, second degree assault charges, reckless endangerment, and misconduct in office charges against Officer William Porter, and could not get a conviction on one. Folks, we're not talking about getting a hung jury on one count, and there's a partial verdict, and they're coming back, and they're going to render information, you know, with a verdict as to the other counts. They could not sustain a unanimous verdict on any of these counts. There was a hung jury on every count. That means that the jury of 12 could not unanimously agree to convict this officer on anything. Now, we don't know what their vote was because they were released. No one spoke to them. They remained anonymous. We don't know if the vote was 11 to 1 to convict or not to convict, or maybe it was an even split. But the fact that they couldn't get a conviction on a single count is a death blow to the prosecution, because it sends a bad message to the public that the prosecutor's office, doing their very best and giving everything that they could possibly give, couldn't get a conviction with what was a favorably comprised jury pool and a pettit jury that was in fact chosen to sit on the case. They couldn't get it done. So now the question is, do they retry the case? Of course they should try to retry the case. They just can't walk away from it, so they will. But look at it from this perspective as a defense attorney. You now know exactly what the prosecution is going to argue. very poorly handled by the Baltimore prosecutor's office. Prosecutor Mosley dropped the ball, as we've seen in so many of these other highly publicized cases by prosecutors. They overcharge and they do things incorrectly. And another hung jury or another acquittal. One, just...
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now, for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Did you know that home break-ins increase more than 100% during the holidays? It takes just 10 seconds for an intruder to kick in your door. But police response to a home alarm system is more than 20 minutes. And intruders are in and out of your home in 5 minutes. Thieves know that you're not home and have presents inside just waiting to be taken. And if you are home, how safe will you feel with an intruder lurking inside with your family? That's why police across the country are recommending you use Door Armor. Proven to withstand the force of a battering ram, Door Armor keeps intruders out. It's easy to install and barely visible, and your Door Armor is guaranteed for life. Go to invasionstopper.com for a very special buy one, get one at half off deal. These savings are for a limited time and only available to GCN listeners. Protect your valuables and loved ones this holiday season. Go to invasionstopper.com now. That's invasionstopper.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
If survivalist housing has been in your plans, get ready. We're bringing our Timberline Range Camps to you February 6th through 14th, the Great American Outdoor Show in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Get an up-close look at some of our most popular Timberline models or visit survivalistcamps.com to pre-order a camp. We'll bring it to the show and save you the cost of shipping. It's the perfect time to get that camp you've wanted. Go to survivalistcamps.com, then plan on joining us at the Great American Outdoor Show in February in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
All right, you know, I want to talk about what's been going on with all the terror attacks. You know, when you watch these debates, you know, we've been covering debates very closely. You hear all the different candidates talk about what their plan is on how to handle worldwide terrorism. Of course, we're very worried about what's going on domestically with the attack in California, and we see that ISIS is using the internet and other forms of social media to infiltrate our country, to solicit and get people to join their cause and take action against us. And this has to be dealt with. And the big question is the Obama administration handling it right? And do any of the potential candidates that are going to run out there have the right ideas on how to handle this for the future. So I wanted to bring on someone that has direct knowledge in this, and of course I'm talking about the former assistant director of the FBI, Ron Hosko. Ron, welcome to the show.
I'm happy to be with you.
Okay. Now, I know you closely follow all of this, and I know you also work closely with various organizations, and you just deal and discuss these things all the time. I just want to, before we even begin, I just want to say that I know you recently joined the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, LELDF. Everybody go check them out at leldf.org. Let me ask you, when you see what just happened in San Bernardino, and we know that the threat that ISIS is posing in the Middle East, but their threat to come globally to our allies in Europe, to the fronts of the United States, and then we see this terror attack to take place. Is this a real threat that ISIS is going to be an ongoing issue within our country that we need to address?
Yes. ISIS has been very effective in their propagandizing jihad. They are attempting to outsource terror. They are not acting in a way that we saw from Al-Qaeda and some of its affiliates a dozen years ago. These guys are trying to outsource terror. That is essentially get Americans to engage in jihad here in America, trying to, you know, encourage Americans to undertake acts of terror on a timetable of their own choosing with weapons that are available to them, and do the damage that they can anywhere in America. And they are showing effectiveness at it. You just look at the number of FBI arrests in the last year and a half that are tied to ISIS recruitment. They have this capability. If their recruits can stay under the radar, like we've seen in San Bernardino, they have a chance at succeeding, and ISIS will claim it as their victory.
Now, when you look at this situation, it is very different than Al-Qaeda, and I agree with that point 100%. You know, everybody, we remember the images of Osama bin Laden, and it was always him in some mountain range area hiding within a cave, and everybody thought of them as these cave people, but this is not that form of terrorism. These are very sophisticated, it seems very advanced, computer savvy individuals that know and understand how to utilize the internet, social media, in particular hitting Twitter, Facebook, all these different accounts that are out there, and luring in people. They do high production videos that look like they came out of Hollywood, and they use this as real hardcore recruitment tools. And we see that it has been effective as they have solicited people to join and act on their behalf around the globe. So with this being done, do you think that the present administration is doing the proper course of reaction to what they know ISIS is doing within this country? Or if they're not, what can they be doing better?
Well, the short answer is no. I don't think this administration is doing all it can do. I don't think it's doing all it can do in the Middle East. I don't think it's doing all it can do domestically. I think the Obama administration has shown a clear lack of leadership, a clear lack of resolve on these issues. You look no further than the encryption discussion going on today, where you had the director of the FBI has been talking about the FBI going dark on these threats in social media because of encryption. The FBI can see a certain amount of the traffic that may be on open channels, over Twitter, in public postings, in some of the social media sites. But a lot of the challenge that the FBI is facing today is through encrypted means, Telegram, WhatsApp, some of the other applications that a lot of people have on their computers and on their smartphones, designed to obfuscate or designed to eliminate the message after it's been sent. So you send something, it's encrypted, I receive it encrypted, and it dissolves, it goes away, or it can only be decrypted by us, the users or the possessors. That is the challenge of the FBI in this world today. They are losing ground steadily. The director of the FBI has been talking about it, and this Obama administration has effectively done nothing about it other than to repeat, yes, it's a challenge. It is a challenge now, that is going to create opportunities for adversaries to hurt us here in America.
Well, I want to follow up on this because in the last GOP debate, there was a lot of questions and criticism towards Donald Trump when he said, in part, shutting down part of the internet that these terrorist groups are using. Now, I don't know how that's possible, how you could do it, or at the very least, using the internet or the social media sites as a way of tracking them down and following what they're doing better. Now, he took a lot of criticism. Do you think the criticism of his comments were off point, or he's right on target?
Well, I think Trump talks at a high level about some things he would like to be able to do, but where he does lose traction is there's no granularity to the plans. There's no detail to the plans. And so I think that's where you see him being challenged. Make no mistake, domestically, we need some of these social media providers to be on patrol as well. We need them to shut down sites and people who are trying to recruit. Look no further than arrest by the FBI up in the Harrisburg area yesterday, where you had a person who was on site after site creating a background for himself so that he could recruit, he could encourage others to terror. He was reportedly putting out identifiers of U.S. military members so that somebody might target them. The people like Twitter and Facebook and others are going to have to be participants in this in chasing some of these dark forces off of their site and or identifying them to law enforcement so law enforcement can take action. This cannot just be an FBI fight. We need citizens involved. We need big corporations involved, too, that are making a lot of money off these sites. They're going to have to help.
All right, we just have a minute left. Let me ask you one other question. Rand Paul has been very outspoken about how different acts that have been passed by Congress with the approval of the president, including the Patriot Act being extended and so on, has we see as American citizens a blanket of domestic surveillance of all Americans just being thrown over us and rights being taken away. We're being surveilled, emails, Twitter, whatever we're using is being watched and followed. Do you think that he's on target when he says that this should all stop? Or should it really just be redirected and maybe that will yield better results watching foreign nationals or immigrants that are coming into the country with a more targeted search rather than just all Americans? Which do you think would be more effective?
I certainly prefer to be more targeted and more focused. But where you don't have the providers willing to collect and hold itself, what I think is going to hurt us is data that is collected under a business record, you know, metadata, phone calls that don't have content.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. I want to thank you again for joining us. Former Assistant Director of the FBI, Ron Hosko. Thank you, Ron. Have a great holiday.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting goberkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't take on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
We've had an amazing year here at Supernatural Silver. We've truly enjoyed the fantastic response from thousands of people as they've tried our extraordinary product, and we're thrilled at the life-changing results people have. Our company email is continually full of happy, satisfied customers who thank us for the help they've received from Supernatural Silver. This holiday season, as you think of gifts to give your loved ones, consider giving Supernatural Silver, a gift that can help provide good health and wellness, a gift that can change lives and make a real difference in a world where we are constantly exposed to dangerous health threats. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance. Give Supernatural Silver. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code HOLIDAY2015 for 20% off. And this holiday season, we wish you and yours the blessings of peace and good health from all of us here at supernaturalsilver.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
All right, everybody, here we go. It's that time on the Adam Thompson Show where I bring in our experts, no holds barred, there may be blood drawn. Who knows what's going to happen today as we get down in the Adam Thompson debate pit. We let it all hang out. Everything uncensored, unfiltered. None of our experts appearing have been prepped on what the topics are going to be, where we're going with this discussion, so there's no pre-arranged speaking points, funny quips, real clever sayings. This is all as it happens, and that's why we get such great feedback from all you listeners out there that you love it because it's so off the cuff and you're getting real true answers. So first let me bring in our expert panel, TV journalist and personality. You see her often on CNN and Fox News, Karen Chetri. Check her out at Karen Chetri TV or at Karen Chetri TV, which is a Twitter, I'm assuming. So check her all out. Returning from Genesis Communications, one of our syndicators, in fact, Edward Woodson. Be sure to check him out at edwardwoodson.com. And political strategist and historian Stephen David Elliott. Welcome, everybody. All right. We're going to go. We just had a complete flatline from three people, but that's okay. All right, we're going to get this going. Maybe they're all dumbfounded because Star Wars is coming out. Everybody's still got that Star Wars fever, so no spoilers if anybody's listening. I know you guys know I'm a big Star Wars fan. We're not going to be talking about any of that, but maybe next week, after it's already a week release, we'll get someone on from the movie like Mark Hamill or somebody, and we'll talk about it with them. But let's get to what some breaking stories are. We know we just had another big GOP debate. We're going to talk about winners and losers on that, but I first want to start off with the verdict that came out in the Freddie Gray trial in Baltimore. And by verdict, of course, I'm talking about the mistrial. After, I believe, 3 days of deliberations, the judge, they initially got a deadlock note from the jury saying they couldn't reach a verdict. He sent the case back in, said try a little harder, and they came back again with a deadlock verdict. And they're basically saying we can't get a unanimous verdict on any of the charges. We're not talking about one charge they deadlocked. They have a partial verdict. Deadlocked, unable to agree on any of the charges. So the judge declares a mistrial, and now we have to see if the prosecutor is going to retry. Officer William Porter, is he going to offer, you know, is he going to offer an immunity deal? So let's talk about this verdict, what it means. I mean, I'm a criminal defense attorney for 25 years. I think this is disastrous for the prosecution for many reasons. But first, let's hear what you guys think. I'll start off with you, Kern. What do you make of this verdict, and what do you think it means moving forward?
You know, I think it's interesting that the defense attorney is saying he can't really comment on it because he's subject to a gag order. I'm actually curious, though, from a defense attorney point of view, is it as big of a nightmare, or is it a sigh of relief for the defense versus the prosecution in terms of if they have to clear out this entire jury and if they have to go through everything all over again, try to pick a jury, present everything? Is that just as big of a nightmare for the defense, or would you, if you were representing him, be breathing a sigh of relief right now?
Well, Karen, we had you on for comments, not to ask the questions to me. I already did that in my opening, so we're going to move on to Edward Woodson. You're out of the box.
Okay, so I was a criminal defense attorney, so I'll answer the question, okay? So it is actually a sigh of relief, because pretty much a mistrial is kind of like a win, to be honest with you, okay? Yeah, they got the prosecution has to come back, they got to retry, they got to pick a jury again, but the reality is it's almost like an acquittal, because it's going to be very hard. Also, I think they overcharged this guy. They probably should not have gone ahead and charged probably the first black cop to begin with. And usually out of the box, if you're going to have a series of trials, you want the strongest case to be the first one. So I think this actually kind of blows the whole prosecution of all the cases.
Yeah, that prosecutor Mosley dropped the ball in big, big ways. But like I said, before I jump in, I always like to hear what our expert panel has to say. So let's get to you, Steve and David Elliott. What's your thoughts on this?
It's a win. It's a win for the defense. The prosecution is going to try it again, and they're going to bungle it again. It's going to be a mistrial again and again.
Well, that's as succinct as you can get. You know, I got to tell you, I opened on this, and I just want to say huge win for the defense for the one reason that unless a prosecutor puts you away and gets a conviction, which is what they're in the game for, right? There's nothing else that they want but a conviction. They're not there to get anything else. Then it's a loss for the prosecution. And a big part of this is the public is now watching this. This was all over the news. Everybody's paying attention to this case. The prosecution lined up who they thought was the best person to go first to win, and they line up all their ducks in a row and bring in every witness, every expert, and the defense is clueless as to everything that's basically going to happen at the trial. They could guess, they could surmise, but they're guessing. So now they try the case. They can't put it away. They get a hung verdict on every single charge, not the top count. Every single charge. So now, if they do retry the case, you were right on point going this direction, Edward Woodson. You know, now the defense knows everything about the case. Now they know every lay witness. They know every expert witness. They know every angle every witness is going to testify to. Now they have a transcript of all those witnesses. And at the next trial, not only is the cat out of the bag and they already know what they're going to say, but if they deviate even the slightest, they'll now impeach those witnesses to contradict them and make them look like inconsistent witnesses. And whoever they use the first trial as defense experts, they can now amend that, bring in new experts to contradict those experts even more. This couldn't be worse. Now, will they retry the case? Absolutely. The prosecution will retry the case. They can't put their tail between their legs and walk away. But the public is going to think the case is a disaster. The defense shouldn't be looking for any deals at this point, because if they couldn't win the first time going out, it's easier the second time going around. So I'm going to follow up now with you guys on this point. I think this is a wild card that I haven't heard talked about on a lot of shows, but the jury was asked to remain anonymous. The judge released them. The jurors are anonymous. We don't know even what their vote are, because there was no poll taken, and the defense attorneys didn't get an opportunity to interview them after the trial ends, which usually happens. I know I've done many cases. They've come back with hung jurors, and then you talk to them, you find out it was 11-1 for a conviction, and one person held out. And you're like, thank God we had one lone wolf who held out. But sometimes it's 6-6, and that means that most of the jurors weren't buying, or at least half. Really bad for the prosecution. So let me start with you on this one, Edward Woodson. You know, isn't how the jurors ultimately were voting, that's a big part of this case, and we don't know the answer to that. What if it was 11-1 to convict, and there was just one juror that was very pro-cop and was never going to vote, regardless of what the evidence was?
Absolutely. And you know as well as I do from doing this in the past that the juries, I mean, you have no idea what the juries are going to do. That's why, you know, to be honest with you, you never really want to go to trial, right? You want to try to get some kind of plea deal if you're on the defense team because juries can do whatever they want to do. And the makeup of the jury sometimes surprises you because sometimes the jury can be like, for instance, I saw that the jury was made up of, four black women. It was a couple black men. And
it was eight,
were
four
white.
Black to white. Eight, four whites.
Right. So when you look at that makeup, sometimes you're surprised. Sometimes you have no idea because the juries can pretty much go any way. And now you're not able to really tell you which way the jury went if you're not able to do any kind of questioning of the jury after the fact. So again, for the prosecution, this is a huge hurdle. And I think this just helps the defense going forward. And you had mentioned another thing in the past discussion, which was this. Now they can also file motions to suppress. Think about that. They can file motions to suppress witnesses. They can knock out some of the testimony that was in the earlier trial.
Do you think the fact that, you know, we're going to be coming back again, this was a big blow. We only got 50 seconds. We'll come back in the next segment and keep this going. But in 50 seconds we have left, do you think that if you were representing this officer and they now, the prosecution came to you and said, we'll give you an immunity deal and now come in and testify, would you even consider taking that or would you say, no dice, we're rolling
well,
it, we're
you know
going
what?
Forward?
I mean, I'm not a defense attorney. I don't think I could pass the LSAT, let alone the bar. But I think it is interesting that, first of all, there's the settlement that, you know, Gray's family settled unanimously with the city of Baltimore. I think it was like $6.5 million or something along those lines. The mayor announced that it wasn't directly related to criminal charges, but there was a major multi-million dollar settlement, okay, resulting from the death while in police custody. And so that's the first question is, a lot of time has gone by since the protest, and a lot of time has gone by since the public fervor over this was at its peak.
Wait, hold your thought, Curtin. We got to take a hard break.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Concerned about harmful contaminants in your water? Look to ProPure, the most trusted name in gravity water filtration systems. ProPure, with the silver-infused Pro 1 G2.0 filter, removes over 200 contaminants, including VOCs, heavy metals, chloramines, pesticides, pharmaceuticals, fluorides, and radiologicals. We don't just say it, we back it up. The Pro 1 G2.0 filter is NSF 42 certified and independently tested to meet NSF 53 and P231 standards. Pro Pure Water, the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. Purchase with confidence in quality, performance, and customer service. Take advantage of our biggest holiday 25% off sale going on now. Visit your authorized Pro Pure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533. 800-544-3533.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
All right, everybody, we're back. Here we go. We're going to pick up the conversation where we left off. I believe we were just in the middle of an answer from one of our great panelists. And because I keep botching up a first name, I'm going to call him Ms. Chetri. So where were we in your last answer? I believe you were saying whether or not you think an immunity deal should be struck. And you segued into the $6.5 million civil settlement that the family took prior to the trials even starting, which surprised many people because it's like, if you're going to say the cops are not guilty, why are you even going to make an offer? But again, for those people out there without a legal background, there are two different burdens of proof between a civil trial and a criminal trial. The burden is much lower in a civil trial. And remember, criminal trial has to deal with bringing charges against the officer for failing to do certain acts and or intentional acts leading to harm to this person. The civil case was just about them being negligent, not strapping down a person the right way they were supposed to do it. Has nothing to do with criminal intent, just that they failed to do basic actions that they should have done, and otherwise they were negligent, and it led to him getting harm or killed. So that's, I mean, I really see a civil case being much easier to prove and to prevail on, which is why I think the city ended up settling that. Apart from the fact is they would have had to bring in all these witnesses to get deposed, and I don't think they wanted all these witnesses getting deposed before a criminal trial, and then the depositions would have been used in a criminal trial. But this is real advanced trial strategies, everyone, so we'll keep to the more basic stuff. So let's get to it. Are you surprised, though? I'm going to switch over to you, Stephen. Are you surprised that with the outcome of this case, that an immunity deal wasn't offered before this trial even started? Like, now there's a transcript of what this officer, William Porter, said took place. He took the stand. Very rare that defendants even testify generally. It's like 1 in 100 probably. They're usually kept off the stand because of prior convictions they have or other problems. But they usually don't testify. Here, the officer did testify. Gives a full version of what happens. Wouldn't it have been much better for the prosecution not let him testify, give him an immunity deal where they just get to prep him? Because now if they give him an immunity deal and he takes it, they still have to deal with his transcript of what he said when he was presented by the defense, and they got to live with that. They can't change what he said now. Am I missing something?
It seems to me that it's political. If they had offered him an immunity, the streets would have been on fire. They had to try him. The prosecutor felt that they were going to get the conviction. They ended up with a hung jury. But, you know, a lot of these hung juries, once they retry them, they result in a conviction, despite the fact that the defense attorney now has a much better advantage than when they went into the trial.
But do you think I'll switch over to you, Edward Woodson? I mean, it's a good point made by Stephen. Maybe there would have been unrest in the streets if they gave a cop an immunity deal in this case because of all the negative publicity that first came out. But couldn't they have spun that by saying, we all know there's a blue wall of silence. We're not stupid. You look at all the vast number of commissions that have been, you know, set up to investigate this, and they all said that cops protect cops. They even have the expression, blue is thicker than red, meaning that the blue line of the cops is thicker than blood even. And it's a known fact. So by giving this guy an immunity deal, couldn't they say we actually cracked the blue wall of silence? We have an honest officer who's willing to talk and speak out against corrupt and rogue cops, and he's going to now offer this testimony. Wouldn't that have made sense to put that spin on it and then have him go after and testify against each of these other cops in subsequent trials?
Well, absolutely. I mean, first of all, let's be honest, and I want to go back to your point about the offering the settlement deal. That was so stupid, because what you do, you don't do that before the criminal trial. You know that. You know that as well as I do. You do that afterwards. Okay? So by doing that, by giving $6.5 million. Okay, to the family of Freddie Gray, all you're doing is basically you're telegraphing is what you're doing by doing that. Okay, number one, and then in terms of an immunity deal, they would have been way better off giving that immunity deal, because then they could have maybe gotten some type of conviction. Now, like you say, they can't. I mean, this has been botched, and I agree with the point of the fact that this was all political. Let's be honest, this whole thing was political from the very beginning. They overcharged this guy. How are they going to be able to prove intent from this guy who was the driver? Okay, he was the driver of the paddy wagon. How are they going to prove intent that this guy committed manslaughter? The charge was manslaughter. I mean, it's ridiculous. The whole thing.
Yeah, no, you raise some very good points, but people may not even be aware. Let me read this because it's so interesting. You know, the judge's jury instruction. The top count in this case was a manslaughter charge, right?
Correct.
The judge instructed the jury to find Porter guilty of manslaughter. They would have to have found that Porter acted in a grossly negligent manner, and that his conduct was a gross departure from what a reasonable police officer in a similar situation would have done. Now, to prove those elements is so grossly negligent is such a high standard, he could have even said, you know, I looked at the guy in the back, I thought Freddie Gray was all right, I could have been wrong, maybe I was a little off, but in good faith, I thought he was okay and there was nothing more to do. I told him maybe he needs a medic. I told the guy in the front that was the end of it. How do you joke to that being grossly negligent, or an officer in the same situation wouldn't have done that? But listen to this other charge. The lowest count that he faced was misconduct in office, okay? Now get this. To prove this charge, the jury was charged, they would have to find that Officer Porter had corruptly, all right, that's the opening word, corruptly failed to do an act required by his duties, and that it was not, quote, a mere judgment, an error in judgment, but that it was based on an evil motive and bad faith. Now, are you going to tell me that a jury is going to convict this officer and find that he did this with an evil intent and bad faith, rather than just, hey, I was a cop, I made a mistake? I mean, Karen, do you think that that a jury would ever find him guilty under that jury instruction?
Well, you know what? I mean, a couple of the points that you made. Part of, I understand what you're saying. Part of it is, if you want to, you guys were referring to the civil settlement that took place with the city of Baltimore. Look, I mean, there weren't criminal charges. It's a patient dies in a hospital, right? Or if an EMT does something wrong, or let's say an ER doctor or the triage unit doesn't figure out fast enough that somebody's having a stroke or somebody's, you know, really in serious trouble. There are multi-million dollar malpractice settlements, right, that happen all the time. I do understand that there is a difference there. However, they're trying to argue, at least, that the reason he was that the prosecution was seeking charges above what the other five were charged with is because he was the lead, he was the one who was supposed to seatbelt him, and then after the fact, he delayed the call to get a medic. Now, if I was defending him, I would call in a lot of medical experts, spinal experts. If he truly had, if he truly died because his spine was broken, would it have mattered if they called in 30 seconds or 10 minutes? I mean, would that have made the difference between life and death? Probably not.
Well, that's the big problem in this case. The expert testimony is going to be on such different wavelengths. I'm sure the prosecution had people said that it needed to be done ASAP, and the defense witnesses said there's no way to pinpoint when he was actually hurt, what actually hurt him, and any delay, if you know, whether it was 2 minutes, 5 minutes, or a half an hour would have made a difference. And when you have such a different spectrum of expert
right.
testimony, how does a regular layperson in a jury decipher that? And if they can't decipher it, that's what reasonable doubt is. So I would always think you're going to get one holdout juror. You know, so many people, when they try criminal cases, you know, when I instruct younger attorneys on how to try cases, I always tell them, when you're defending a case and there has to be 12 jurors that are unanimous voting against you, you may have the worst jury pool in the world, where everyone you think is against you, because you screen them, you go through them, and sometimes the luck of the draw is you don't have a favorable jury. But guess what? You don't have to convince all of them. Work on one or two you think they're best profiled towards your client's point of views.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What's really unfortunate here is, if you really look at it, there were three African-American cops. There were three Caucasian police officers there as well, right? There was a sergeant, Officer Porter, and Officer Goodson, and Sergeant White. They were there black. And then there was a lieutenant, another officer, and another officer who were white. The jury also was pretty much a mixed bag, and we're sitting here discussing it in a way that is tinted by race, okay?
No, we're not. Maybe you are, but we're not, because we're lawyers. No. You're absolutely wrong about that.
Would we be spending 15 minutes talking about a case if everybody was white, or if everybody was black, or if... If there wasn't this underlying feeling that there's police brutality, which I'm sure there is, but in this case, to paint it that it was a potentially racially motivated, I think is a dangerous road to go down personally. Because...
Well, the guy was black, so what are you talking about? The first guy they charged was black. What are you talking about?
That's what I mean. I'm saying
that the victim was black.
Why is everybody covering it? Because it has a racial element to it, okay?
No, because there was riots in Baltimore. That's why they're covering it.
Exactly. So the more we talk about it, the more attention that this receives. This is no doubt a tragedy. Anybody who loses their life, okay, before they have a chance
All right, guys, we're running out of time, so we got everybody happy holidays. We'll see you in overtime. Until the next time, remember, question everything.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese, featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.